a minute. Now, you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny-ante building alone, I'll never know. But neither you nor anybody else can say anything against his character, because his whole life was... Why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy? He didn't save enough money to send Harry to school, let alone me. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? Right. Here, you're all businessmen here. Don't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers? You said that they... What'd you say just a minute ago? They had to wait and save their money before they even thought of a decent home? Wait for what? Until their children grow up and leave them? Until they're so old and broken down that do you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on, and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about, I know.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright.
Now the milkman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight.
So good morning. Good morning. Sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning. Good morning to you and you and you.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Who Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Dana. And this is Douglas. And we bring to you once again the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I beat you to it, Andrew.
You're too slow, son. Douglas is on point.
Wow, guys. Wow. It amazes me at the things that we do to amuse ourselves sometimes.
Just wait till he come back here. Oh, you think it's bad now? No, we can't say we have to wait and make sure that you're still talking to us. When you're actually in the room, it's just going to be like 100 times worse.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And our podcastly or our weekly beer consumption will resume.
Skyrocket. Oh,
so God. That will be fantastic.
Drunk bastard.
I wonder how much podcasting we're going to get done at TIFF. Are we going to do podcasting at TIFF, Dillas?
Well, if we can, I would, sure.
Yeah. How do you plan? You're going to use your phones? No one wants to hear phones.
Of course.
Phone podcast. Guys, let me be honest. 2013, if you have crappy audio coming out of your podcast, don't put that up. No one wants to hear it.
Listen, just... Andrew, you know what? Talk to Soretta.
Yeah.
Talk
right,
to Miller.
Guys.
Talk to all of those bitches. And just tell them, listen,
your
bring your equipment. You're just driving. We'll use it. You guys can, you know, get some sort of...
Right. You get the joy of knowing that you have created the greatest podcast.
Exactly. And maybe we'll give them a sound bite. Like, right. This is Douglas and Andrew, and you're listening to Film School Rejects. And they can just use that the whole, you know, time.
Give them a drop.
I'll get that happening, Douglas. I'll get right on it. But anyways, leading into this week's podcast, Douglas wanted us to watch this film by the name of Happy People, A Year in Taggia. Is that how it's pronounced?
Taiga.
This is the village of Bakhtia in Siberia. The endless wilderness that surrounds this place is known as the taiga. This colossal landmass is 1.5 times the size of the United States.
Taiga. Weirdly enough, I didn't make that association when I was watching the movie.
You're a bad person.
I just kind of... I'm broken.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't know how to pronounce it either, except Werner Herzog actually said the word in the like first 2 minutes.
No, yeah.
Guys,
what I'm saying...
Did all of us do G at some point? I'm pretty sure we did geography.
Yeah, but Taiga is not on geography. Siberia, maybe, but not Taiga.
Are you certain?
Yes, not in our geography. Not in Jamaica geography.
I learned about the tiger.
Well, you are a crazy person. You clearly, your teacher took just a little bit too much attention to you. Are you sure that, you know, you're okay? He didn't, you know, touch. Show me where she touched. I have a doll in front of me. Just show me which parts.
Everywhere except the parts.
So I'm cutting that off right there. Cutting that one off right there. I want to start out with a question, mm-hmm. because Douglas has said something repeatedly on the podcast, and I find it very interesting that he's the one who's chosen this movie, because he said repeatedly about his not so much disdain, but lack of affinity for documentaries, where he never really finds a reason to go into them. And he's also had a bit of a negative reaction towards Werner Herzog as a filmmaker generally. I mean, there was a few weeks back I mentioned to him that I was planning to watch Aguayo, The Wrath of God, which was one of Herzog's films, and he just kind of scoffed at me. So I'm curious as to what inspired you to pick this film, because part of me at first thought that you emailed the wrong movie and you were going to come on here and start talking about a completely different film.
Oh, that would be hilarious. I come on here and be like, so I watched Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm. So I watched this other movie that is completely unrelated.
like when Damien came, yeah. And I wanted us to watch Leaves of Grass, and he's like,
yeah, I saw that movie.
That's
that
the
movie.
Wrong movie.
Not that movie.
Or when I emailed The Untouchables.
Right. Yep. Oh, Untouchables.
I still don't know what that other movie he was talking about he saw.
Yeah, I think he
But
made
anyways,
that up.
Yeah, Douglas.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about this with the top five because it goes so hand in hand together. But let's not do that. So my top five this week, let's just at least, you know, make that connection, is essentially the five most memorable movie recommendations that someone has given you. So to kind of tie back to that, what I did this week was, and I've spoken about this before, Damien White, I talked to Max,
mm-hmm.
Steve's friend,
right.
On Netflix,
yeah.
Right?
Steve Netflix's friend.
Yeah. So, just in case, you know, somebody is listening to the podcast that hasn't listened to earlier ones, because we spoke about it earlier, Netflix has a new service. It's called Netflix to the Max or something, mm-hmm. along those lines.
And it is dumb.
And what it does is it tries to kind of data mine your whole system by using what ratings you already have in the Netflix system, as well as asking you questions about different movies and different TV shows and asking you to rate those. And so based on your ratings before, during, and after, it compiles all of that and says, all right, I think you will like this. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to have Max decide what our podcast movie this week is. So I went on to Max, and he said, you know, what category do you want to watch? And fortunately, as I said to you before, Damien, I've had some hilarious mishaps with the category and the actual end result. But this time it worked out not too badly, because I've been kind of training him. I've been putting in more and more ratings. And so this time I asked for critically acclaimed features.
You're right.
And, you know, put in my data, and Andrew, you'll enjoy this. The first thing Max said to me is, you're supposed to watch As Good As It Gets, but unfortunately, I don't know about Damien, but I know for a fact both myself and Andrew have watched this movie, and Andrew is the biggest proponent, and it really wouldn't be fun. So I moved on, and actually this was one of the movies in that top five that it does at the end. And I decided just to go with this one. I had no clue what it was. I had no clue that it was related in any way to Werner Herzog. I may have thought twice if I knew that. And I went ahead and said, we're watching Happy People.
So, Douglas, why don't you go ahead and tell everyone what this movie actually is about?
This movie, Happy People, A Year in the Tiger, is a movie, a documentary rather, about people that are happy in the Tiger. So the Tiger is a region in Siberia, which, for those of us who don't know, Andrew included, is where you go to die because you're a criminal in Russia, right? Yes,
that's pretty much it. You're there, you might as well be a war criminal.
Anyway, no, it's essentially the northest of the north that you can get.
Hail the king of the north.
Damon looks like he's using his geography now.
No. I'm just trying to fight this dumb thing that is in my brain.
Is this the winter that was coming?
No, I think he's talking about northwest.
It's Game of Thrones puns.
It is Street Fighter related.
Oh, wow. What?
I'm a bad person.
Come on, out with it.
No, we need to know, Damien. We need to know. All
right, so in Street Fighter, there's a character called Sagat, and he has a couple of moves, and all of those moves start with Tiger.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And so now all my brain is doing is everything that Douglas says. Every time he says Tiger, I'm just attaching that to things that Douglas is saying. Okay.
So will it help if I no longer say Tiger as Tiger?
No.
If I just say it as Tiger?
No, it won't help.
Okay, so
we should all put on eye patches.
Yes, we should. Anyway, this movie is about a region in Siberia called the Tiger. And so it's called the Tiger, mm-hmm. And it's a region where it's not really industrialized, and
that's the understatement.
it's very much it's a village or it at least contains villages. Taiga is a very large expanse of place. And I was explaining where Siberia is. Siberia is up at the top end of Russia. It's very frozen most of the time, or a lot of the time,
all
of course,
of
because you know, when you're essentially in the Arctic, you know, mm-hmm. Shit gets cold, right?
It's frozen all of the time.
And so what this really does is this movie tracks literally a year in the lives of those people in a specific village in the Taiga. And it attaches itself to mainly one, but it branches off into a few trappers and their lives, and what their lives really consist of is a few months in the village at home, you know, spending time with wives and children, but mostly going off to their region, their territory, in order to make their money and earn their living by trapping animals for sale, whether it be for the meat or the skin, the fur, you know. And of course the fur is important because guess what, shit be cold. And so this movie is really about those people and kind of the solitude that they seek, and eventually a bit of the craziness and the I don't want to say idiosyncrasies, because it's a little more than that, but that sort of idiosyncratic a behavior that builds when for months on end you are alone, and not alone with one person or alone in a city, alone with no one to talk to except a dog and maybe dead things that you have killed and are waiting to sell in the next selling season. Right? So, when I first started watching this movie, I'm sure Andrew and Damien would not be surprised to hear me say that I wasn't very happy. I realized what I had gotten myself into, and was kicking myself. Yeah. Not only was it a documentary.
He told Max that he's a son of a bitch.
Right. But it was a documentary by my greatest...
Your boy.
Oh, no, I hate you. I hate you, Werner. But anyway, it was a documentary by Werner Herzog. I really shouldn't say I hate him, because as bad as... Or as much as I don't like a lot of the movies that I've seen from him, they're all good movies. So I can't really, you know... Right. It's hard to hate him, but I do. Slowly but surely, though, this documentary kind of clawed its way into my good graces. And as I said to you before, right, when we were talking about the last documentary that we watched, which was The Act of Killing. Mm-hmm. That documentary I appreciated but didn't really like, because it was very weird and out there. And what I said at the time was that the thing about documentaries, for me to enjoy a documentary, it has to be one of two extremes. One, it really isn't very informational, but it's extremely entertaining. Like, say, I don't really like Manson that much, but Super Size Me, which I do like. Or it's essentially educational, and you kind of feel separated from the subject matter. And because I guess I like learning things, I do, though. I enjoy.
I enjoy doing it. Do it. You, I like you, idiot. I like learning things.
Okay, thank you, Damien. But yeah, because, you know, I enjoy that kind of thing. I like, you know, I like the schooling, and I like, you know, going to work and saying, oh, this is a new way that
we
I can do something.
Douglas, you're smart.
Right?
Okay.
So I enjoy, or at least appreciate, more than just appreciate, a little bit more, that kind of movie. And this movie, I don't know exactly where to put it, but I think it definitely resides more on the side of educational, because it isn't quite, you're not quite separated from these people. You are there. And you know, it's very much, you know, one of those, it's not quite talking heads, but it's, you know, interviews but interviews while they are actually living their lives and doing what the documentary is about. Right. So it's not quite the educational documentary that I'm used to, but it worked pretty well. I think it's really the subject matter, and the fact that what we're getting to see is a glimpse into almost where we came from. And not literally, clearly, you know, none of us have ancestors from anywhere in Russia or in Taiga.
I'm
right?
Not sure about that.
But the fact that you look at these guys and you think to yourself, look back maybe 100 or a couple hundred years, and this is kind of what the world was like. Mm. You know, you had these villages with the ladies that, you know, tended the house. You have the men, that the strong men that go out and hunt and gather, and you know, that was the circle of life. That was what life was about. And this remote place still kind of has that pecking order, you know. And when you come home, you pump the wife full of the semen so that she can grow young boys that can grow big and strong and do exactly what you do.
Plus, you haven't seen her in 4 or 5 months.
Exactly, right? You've gotten used to the feel of the dog, and now you got...
I knew it.
Oh my God.
I'm glad I didn't say it. Glad someone did that before me.
But there was just something a little fascinating about that glimpse into not just history, but what actually still is going on in places like this. And, you know, there were small things, like he made skis, and he was talking about, you know, the primitive tools that you know, these guys really don't use very modern things. I think the only real modern, I saw two modern things there that were of note. One, which isn't that modern, which is just a plane, And two, not an aeroplane, by the way, plane to even out wood, but also, so yeah, that was my second one. Yeah. The second one's going to be chainsaws, but you're right, the snowmobile also is is another modern sort of comfort that they have. But that's essentially it. So these guys live, except for those three things, like they, you know, like it's not really that modern. There's you don't see electricity really. I think there probably is electricity in some of the village, but you don't really see it, and you definitely don't see
you
it.
You can just imagine how that day went when the first guy brought in a snowmobile.
Heresy! Burn him!
I make my skis.
That is the devil's work.
But I mean, I really came to enjoy this movie a lot. And, you know, there were a couple of things that really got to me. Especially, it kind of got a little bit weird at the end, or close to the end, where it became a little less, this is how these people live, and a little more, this one guy is really an asshole. So, they follow one hunter more than anybody else. I can't remember his name. Maybe Andrew can help me if he wants. Doesn't really matter. But this guy, you know, from the beginning, you start to feel a sort of kinship, as you would to any lead character, where they don't, you know, label him as some horrible human being. And after a while, you notice a few things, but you kind of brush over them and say, this guy's just a hunter, let him be. And you know, they kind of play up this relationship between him and his dog. Because, of course, the dog is kind of like his, I wouldn't call apprentice, but his little helper, right? So, yes, he makes his own traps, his not really sophisticated, but, you know, the traps that only a human can make and a dog can't use his paws and no opposable thumbs, unfortunately. Yet. Yeah, not yet. We haven't bred the super dog yet. But the dog can't do those things. But what the dog can do is if he sees a creature running around, or if the guy's got the creature caught somewhere and can flush him out, the dog can chase after him and eventually catch him and give him back to the owner. And so, as the guy says, you know, a good dog is priceless almost. Mm-hmm. In his,
if you're a hunter, you have to have a good dog.
Yeah, in his life, you need one. And he talks about, you know, going through very many dogs to get to the right one and how he loves a dog and all of these good things. And then, you know, he says certain things like, you know, dogs have to know their place. And there was this one specific monologue that he gave, and it's funny because in some regard, and I know there are a lot of pet owners that are about to hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit, I forget there's one in front of me right now. We're actually agree with him in principle. Not necessarily in practice. I don't think I could bring myself to do anything like what he is describing. But in principle, makes perfect sense. He says that, you know, to have a good dog, the dog has to understand essentially his role in life, which is to help the hunter hunt and not to go around just fucking around in, you know, the wild, wild west. So, dogs have to understand from early that traps are not for dogs. Don't go around and eat the food and try and mess with my traps, because then I know can no longer earn my livelihood. So what he says is, listen, here's how you deal with it. A lot of people beat their dogs. I don't believe in that. And you start to think, oh, he's going to be humane about it. No. he says that what you have to do is from early on just set a few traps specifically for the dog. And when the dog finally gets into these traps and is, you know, whether he's hanging from somewhere or he's gotten caught somehow, just leave him there for a while, for like a couple days or a few hours or whatever it is. And he will grow to understand that the traps are not the places to be. They are not fun. they will also, and he was saying, boy, what it does is not only does it train the dog not to go around the traps, but if you were to do it the other way, which is to just beat the dog whenever he does something wrong, what the dog does is get afraid of the owner, which I actually kind of agree in a sense as well. And all that will happen is whenever the owner is sleeping and not looking, the dog will just say, oh, you know, the cat's gone, time for the mice to come out and play. And he goes and fucks around the traps. So, to all the dog owners and cat owners and whatever owners out there, I'm sorry, but...
You're basically telling everyone to start setting traps.
Yeah, start setting traps for your dogs. Seriously, it solves a whole plethora of problems.
So, I'm going to be really quick with this, because Werner Herzog is someone who I'm continuously fascinated by. I mean, we can always talk about documentary versus, like, traditional narrative film. I mean, I think the first movie I saw by him was Rescue Dawn. And then I found out that it's based on a story that he actually made a documentary for, which I also found fascinating and I loved. And the weirdest thing about it is he can find the most boring stories and still kind of interest me. And I think it comes from a fact that he genuinely finds these stories fascinating. I mean, I kind of point my finger to Cave of Forgotten Dreams, which is a documentary he made, I think it's 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah,
maybe more.
2 years.
About this cave that that was discovered in France, which had like the oldest carvings and the most knowledge. I'm using the wrong words. The most evidence as to our oldest origins as people. Saw all the cave paintings, all of those things that you saw in your cartoons, and we kind of laugh at and think, oh, do those things really exist, or did we just pop up? You know, and he's just going through and just having a ball, just being able to experience all of these things. And while I have my reservations about that film, like feeling that it might have been 15 minutes too long, it still fascinated me. And hearing all of these people discuss the implications of everything they found, looking at how they're trying to preserve it and try to study it, I loved it. This movie, on the other hand, I didn't really get that feeling from. Because I saw the fascination, because for me, everything kind of felt normal. It felt like just understanding these people, which was one thing, and I get that. And it felt almost like it was leading up to this one moment. There was this one moment late on in the movie, where the snowmobile is gone, the dog is just with him, and Werner even says this line that you see him walking through the snow with his handmade skis, his pelts, and everything walking through, and he says that he resembles a man which we would have seen if we were around like 2,000 years ago. And it feels like the movie was all leading up to that one moment, and that is what fascinated Herzog, the fact that these men... While we see these few steps they've taken over the years, you know, we look at the chainsaw, we look at the snowmobile, we look at the society and everything, it still looks like he was really just interested in that one moment of seeing, at the end of the day, he really is still a trapper, like a traditional trapper who us as people of today only get to see in movies in the most characterized ways. I mean, we've seen them in westerns mostly at this point. But otherwise, it just felt like he just had to make 90 more minutes to justify getting that one moment. And I wasn't really as into it at all. I wanted to be, because I truly find Herzog's fascinations fascinating. But... not really. Not this time, I'm sorry. Damian, what did you think?
Alright. So, you don't like it, which is fine. Douglas, when he saw what was about to happen, Douglas initially was like, hey, whoa. This is not up my alley at all. I, on the other hand, as much as close to 100% in as possible. A documentary by Herzog is a thing I'll watch whenever. And one of the things that I used to, you know, keep secret about myself back when I was growing up was just how much I enjoyed, you know, documentaries about places that I'll never want to visit. You know, the Discovery Channel, like, it was literally was Discovery Channel and then football. That is how it used to work. I used to live on Discovery Channel because it was great. You just get to watch people go places and do things that I don't want. I know I'm not going to do any of them. And that is fine. This lunatic is out there looking for animals that will kill him in a single bite. And I'm fascinated by all of that. And to this day, my favorite podcast is EarthTouch.com. They put out essentially small HD versions of Discovery Channel programs. And I watch them every day. I know about birds and places that I have no real reason to know of because I'll never see any of them. I don't intend to see any of them. And so when this started, I'm like, oh, this is just another National Geographic documentary. It sounds like it. It looks like it. And I went, all right, I'm on board. And then I heard Werner Herzog's voice and I went, this is fantastic. I'm already 100% in. I don't know why Douglas picked this, but fine. And before I came here, I was like, what am I going to say about this? This is just a documentary about this thing. Like, documentaries are just like, I've never had to review a documentary like this before. But then listening to Douglas and listening to Andrew, I realized that, all right, maybe maybe there's more to this than, you know. I was just like, of course everyone will love this because it's just a documentary, but Andrew didn't. Douglas told you what the movie was about, and so I'll just stick to specifics that I enjoyed. The thing with the dogs, that Douglas is like, you know, pet owners might not like him for this. Douglas, you're completely wrong. I am going to go home now and murder all of my dogs. Because this guy had a dog that ran behind a snowmobile for 2 days. Yes! For 2 days.
That's crazy.
My dogs are the worst. I'm going to murder all of them and start over because I have fucked this up.
Guys, I don't call Peter right now. Please, please don't do it.
How
don't
are my dogs this rocks? I should even call them dogs. That, what he has is a dog. What I have are 4 useless things that I buy dog feeding for and should murder in their sleep. That's what I have. Right. The whole time I'm looking at this dog and he's going like, you know, some dogs this and something. I'm like, yeah. And then I saw what a real dog was. And I'm like, I want that. Right. Can I take a helicopter and go buy that off him? That is what they should sell. Real dogs. Stop selling pills or whatever. Train these dogs. And sell them back to normal people so that we can have real dogs ourselves. And I realized while watching this, I'm like, maybe this is part of the reason that I love movies about the apocalypse. Is because I'm kind of fascinated by a world without technology. Which is ridiculous because since the day I was born and can remember anything, I've had technology and I love technology. But part of me wants to live in a world that, you know, you just have to do everything in an analog way. There's, if you want entertainment, you have to go outside and do things. If you want, you know, food, you have to go and get it. Like, I'm really fascinated by that. I know it won't. If something happens to this world and there's no more technology, this world is over. Right? There's no going back 100 or 1,000 years. With how the world works now. It is moving forward or it is complete and utter destruction. And watching this and just getting a glimpse into the life of these people, I was I was fascinated just watching people essentially go through the motions. And the title of the movie is Happy People, which I think Herzog put as an inside joke to himself. He's like, oh, this is funny, these people. But you kind of understand, once you have, like, we go to work, but that is only because we need money to go to work. Like, if we were willing to do other things, we wouldn't have to go to work. How we do it now? We don't have to go to our office and whatever. The only way for these guys to survive is to do these things. They have to. There is no other option. They either leave, but if you live here, this is what you do. And to have something like that, you know, to have a purpose, to have something that you have to do every day, keeps you focused. You know, today I'm going to do this. Because any day you decide, I'm not going to do this, it is essentially you going, I'm going to die in 2-3 days. This is, I'm calling it a day, tired of this world. Whatever. And, you know, you see them set up these traps, you hear the way they talk, you see them going through and doing things that they've done for years, you know, building canoes, building skis, building traps. You see they can distinguish between reindeer tracks and bear tracks, and all of them have stories about, you know, when a bear came to the village, or, and you see geese fly, and they're like, all right, this is officially spring, there's ice everywhere, so I don't know why they have the audacity to say that. They're like, oh, this is spring, and just on and on and on, and all of these things are things just completely fascinate me. I was enjoying watching it. Was just like this hour and a half version of these Earth Touch podcasts, and I just sat there, you know, just kind of loving every second of it, just watching these people live their lives. And like, I can't understand why it wouldn't be fascinated to Andrew, which is why I'm not attacking him. Because, you know, it's just a thing that Andrew, he didn't like it, so there's he liked Cave of Forgotten Dreams, and I love that Andrew says it's 15 minutes too long. Andrew's a crazy person. I should have made it even longer, just spoken to more people and guessed about these paintings even longer. And it's the same thing with this. I'd have watched another hour and a half of them just living their lives, just being these people. Because this is another place that, guys, I'm never going to visit the tiger, right? I don't like when Jamaica gets cold. Can you imagine? They're like, oh, it's a warm minus 30. What are you talking about? You can't,
tiger.
You can't say, you know, today's a warm day and then say minus anything. That doesn't. But then they're like, oh, you see snow coming down and you see wind. I'm like, oh, today's minus 50. I'm like, all right, let me get this straight. I live in a country where the temperature drops 5 degrees. I'm freezing, and you lunatics live somewhere where you have to dig a hole in ice to catch fish. Fish you shouldn't eat, by the way, because no fish should be though. Guys, do you see how cold that? Why is fish there? That is how I know fish are stupid, you know. There's warm water that they can get to. Is that like there's a cutoff point? If they swim far enough, they'll get to warm water. These dumb fish decide, I'm going to stay here, where bears and people can catch me. It's dumb fish. And just watching these people live a life that I couldn't live. Like, you look at it and you go, Damien, would you be able to do this? Because a lot of times I watch this program, like, am I able to do any of these things? And the answer is no. If I were dropped in the middle of Siberia, I'd be dead in 2 days. Like, I'd make a hut, maybe. I wouldn't know anything about insulation, so I'd have frozen to death. Say I found one of these guys' huts and I scraped off the snow, which is a godly amount of snow, I'd have died. Because how do you catch food? If I'm attacked by a bear, what do I do? Do you climb a tree? No, you don't climb trees when bears are after you. Because bears can climb trees. I remember the first time I found that out, bears went from like fourth on the list of things I never want to see to like first. okay, bears climb trees.
And that's when you thought doors were the way out, right?
I'm like, this is not happening. And You know, if the tree is too thin for them to climb, guess what they do? They knock down the tree. Because they're goddamn bears. Ah, fuck. Goddamn, they're fast. Faster than I can run. Okay, so bears are the worst. They're the worst creatures. All right, fine. Good. And, you know, just watching...
Is that why you kill bears repeatedly?
Yes, that is why I love stabbing them to death in Grand Theft Horse, because that is impossible. If you go at a bear with a knife, you're dead. You're dead. You don't, you're not winning that fight. You're 100%.
I'd always run away from them in Far Cry 3.
It's never happened. And, you know, and just watching this guy and some of the other guys, there was a point where they were talking about, you know, the Russians bringing vodka, and now, you know, the men who aren't strong enough to be trappers, and they're essentially collecting driftwood and selling it back or building boats. They're like, you know, Russians bought vodka, and vodka is what has destroyed all of us, and whatever. And one of the guys is like, yeah, but if you're here every day and you don't have anything to do, what else are you going to do but drink? Like, what's the other option? I'm like, yeah, what? Like, you don't have the internet. There's no YouTube, dog. You drink, tell stories that are impossible, and you fall asleep, and you wake up, and you do it again. What is the other thing that you do? And just watching and being just absolutely fascinated by everything that was on the screen. And this is, I think, the third Werner Herzog documentary I've seen. And the only person I think I'd prefer to narrate documentaries are Morgan Freeman. I don't know if you guys have seen the Through the Wormhole TV show. Most of the time, I think Morgan Freeman's making up shit, but it is terrific to hear him. Just Morgan Freeman his way through these episodes. I'm like, yeah, space is awesome. And I mean, this is essentially, you know, this is just comfort food for Damien. Like this is 100%. Like, even if there are problems, I don't see any of them because I don't care. I'm completely fascinated by the movie and everything that's happening. And so I'm sure Andrew can find things to nitpick, and I'm sure Douglas might be able to do the same. But like, you're nitpicking something that, you know, even if I see it, it doesn't even register. So, or that happened, I don't care, and we move on. And
like I'm sorry, but if we're playing documentary, pick the better Werner Herzog documentary, I mean, I don't know there's anyone who could say that this movie is better than Into the Abyss.
No, Andrew, I'm not saying that any of them are better than any of them. I'm just saying with this documentary, it's just, you know, how much are you fascinated by the subject matter? And turns out all the way. And it's the same thing with Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And, you know, so the documentary that I've come down hard against in past years was Dear Zachary, because that was a documentary that I wasn't fascinated by at all. It seemed like I didn't even understand why they were making it a documentary. It seemed like a sad story, fine. This is a sad story that these people kind of put themselves in that position for it to be a sad. Like, I hear about worse things happening on news every day, and people who make documentaries about that. And so that one, I wasn't fascinated by the subject matter, and I didn't find it entertaining. So that one, I came down hard on the other side for. But all of the ones that I love, with the exception of Restrepo and Tabloid, Restrepo was just, like, I didn't, like, you understand that people go to war, but until I saw that, I didn't understand just how gravely in danger these people were. And Tabloid is just fun. That is just popcorn. It is terrific to watch. It is entertaining. Like, the story is ridiculous, but that doesn't even matter. They just found this fun way to go through it. And I'm like, all right, fine. But most, when I think documentaries, this, what we saw today, this is documentaries that I think of. It's just them talking to people or going to some place and like, this and this happens, and this is how people survive, or this is how this situation played out. And then it ends, you either go, well, that was terrific, or I didn't need to know about that. And this is, I'm completely 100% on the side of, you know, I think everyone should watch this, but then I'd have told everyone to, you know, subscribe to Earth Touch and watch Nat Geo all day and stuff like that. So,
yeah, so it sounds to me like this is Tump approved. Yes, right. Two to three. One. Two out of three. Yeah. Andrew, you lose.
It happens every so often. Yeah. Actually, it happens very often, I've found.
Pretty good. Yeah. But I really do enjoy this. And again, just like another movie that I might talk about later on, for this to go from a genuine bias, mm-hmm. that is... It's not like, you know, right. This is probably not going to be good. Yeah, this is like, negative, fuck yeah. This movie is what I started out with. I'm going from this fuck happening. This movie to this movie is awesome. Yeah. This has it's to be like, yeah. Wow.
As I said, Douglas, I thought you emailed the wrong movie.
Like, I don't know if, like, if someone came to me and said, Damien, is this like one of the best documentaries ever? I wouldn't know what to answer that. I guess. I love it. But I'm a crazy person.
Exactly.
I think you might like it. But I don't know. I don't have any perspective. I can't be, you know, unbiased about this. The subject matter is a thing I love. And it's a documentary. So, yeah. I guess it's good. Yes, I don't know.
I literally paused the movie about 2 minutes or 1 minute in when I saw Werner Herzog's name.
God,
I paused
it
and I was like,
oh. Why did I pick this? I fucked this up.
It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. It's the questions. Come on. The questions. It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. It's the questions, yeah. The questions. It's the questions, y'all. It's the questions. It's the questions. Dig it. The questions. It's the questions, boy.
This week, I had asked a question about sequels, about like what movies out there existed that hadn't gotten a sequel that you had always wanted there to be a sequel.
Bad Boys 3. And... Where's Bad Boys 3?
Why you got a sequel, forward? You got Bad Boys 2.
Right,
that's
and
enough.
I thought, Bad Boys 2 can't be any good, and he did it. And there's no Bad Boys 3. Martin Lawrence is going to be dead in like 2 days, you know, guys. We need to get on it.
And the internet responded. The sequel to Bad Boys 2 is Pain and Gain, Damien. It's Pain and
no,
Gain.
No, it isn't. No.
Josephine Mangiani, I hope I'm not ruining that name.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure I am. asked if book to screen movies count, if Gone to the Wind could get an unofficial sequel. And while I'll admit openly that I've never watched Gone to the Wind, I find that very interesting
gone
that someone who wrote Gone to the Wind.
Is it Gone with the
gone
Wind?
Gone with the Wind. Oh, oh my goodness.
Okay. I don't know what
my
gone
brain
to the
is
wind
still
is.
Trying to make To the Wonder puns. I don't know why.
And anyone that says there was a sequel to Gone with the Wind is a crazy person. Have you seen that movie, Douglas?
I saw it in my youth.
I don't care what anybody says. That
I have not
bad.
Watched it recently. I remember vaguely there is a fire.
Uh-huh. And 3 hours of absolutely boring dross.
In the two responses that I like to read sarcastically, I don't take them very seriously. Jack Giroux, friend of the show, asks for 2001 A Space Odyssey.
2002
A Space Odyssey. And Matthew Price, host of the Mammo podcast, says, Bonnie and Clyde, how did that one end again? So I'm pretty sure those two were met very sarcastically, but come on, guys. You can do better than those. They're better movies to mock how sequels need to happen than anything. Courtney Small from Big Thoughts from a Small Mind asks for Zero Effect, apparently an underrated film starring Bill Pullman and Ben Stiller. I've never heard of this movie. Have
oh,
you guys?
I know that movie. I've seen that movie before. Ben Stiller is the assistant to Bill Pullman, who is like a dysfunctional, quirky and antisocial private detective, something along those lines. If it's no, a movie that I think it is.
Nope.
Bill Pullman and Ben Stiller probably haven't been in that many movies together. I'm pretty sure. Should be that one.
Trey Perry brought up a movie which I don't understand how anyone would ask for a sequel, and I don't know if this is being sarcastic, but asked for a sequel to E.T.
E.T. Come Earth?
I'm guessing when E.T. comes back and everyone's grown up, you know, it's like what we expect the end of Monsters, Inc. to be, where he opens the door and it's probably a few years later.
I don't like talking about E.T. because you're supposed to like that movie, and I don't.
I love that movie.
So, sure, I guess. At least there's a way to make that movie. I guess E.T. could come back, but...
Drew Barrymore could, you know, become a rocket scientist and find where E.T. lives.
Why not? Why not? They did it with Prometheus.
It'd be the Prometheus of E.T. movies. Pat McDonald asked for Remo Williams, and yes, I'm serious. I don't even know what this movie is.
Why does that sound familiar?
I'm afraid to find out.
Have you guys...
Remo Williams?
So,
I
just ran it up, and Remo Williams is a 1985 film starring Fred Ward.
Oh, is it the one where he's a karate guy? Yes,
He looks like he's taking a karate pose. It says an officially dead cop is trained to become an extraordinary, unique assassin in service of the U.S. president.
Andrew, just pause. This movie is awesome. Okay? This movie is so good that...
I think I'll have to watch it.
Oh, my God. You recognize the man on the front poster, right?
Yes, I do.
Because
I know
he
who that is
from
that's a guy in Tremors.
A marvelous movie by the name of Tremors. Just a great little indie movie. You know, it's just wonderful. Remo Williams is better than that movie.
Okay. The synopsis sounds terrific.
Actually, no, I'm lying to you. I don't think many movies can be better than Tremors, but this one tries. It fails, but it fails well.
It's a movie from the 80s where there's a dude doing karate that is dead, you say?
Yes.
I think I want to watch it.
No, he's not actually dead.
Right.
Officially he's dead.
I want to watch
it. And like, you know, a Pat Morita type character.
He's going to ninja his way through
ninja,
the rest of the movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
That sounds like I watched Delta Force, I'll watch this.
Guys, I think we're messing up here.
I think I'll pick my next movie.
No, David, no.
I think we're going to watch Remo Williams.
At Bubba Wheat brought up The Incredibles, which I guess is the most obvious answer. I mean,
yeah.
I think we mentioned
Pixar,
it last week ourselves.
The sons of bitches. Plane? Cars 2? Where in God's name is Incredibles? Although I'd prefer them to just make new things. I'd prefer them to never do any sequels. And just, I mean, I'm willing to watch Wall-E if I get her up after it. Yeah, like, you understand?
But are you willing to give up Toy Story 3?
No, because I already have Toy Story 3. And they made Toy Story
2 already.
Oh,
so you're saying
already.
No more sequels from now
going
on.
Going forward, yeah. I'm willing to take mediocre Pixar if I'll get a great new Pixar movie out of it. And not just sequels. Like, I understand that you say Monsters University is terrific, but I already have Monsters, Inc. I have something that I can, you know, hold on to in the Monsters universe. I don't need more monsters. I'd like something new, but that doesn't seem to be the way they're going, which there's nothing you can do about that. They're still a business at the end of the day. So, don't worry. Shaft!
No, we don't need a sequel to this.
We got one already, actually.
We have many, many sequels. Undercover Brother.
Corey Pierce brought up Speed Racer, which I'm happy to hear more people
What is wrong with you?
Be happy for
guys,
Speed Racer.
Guys, we can like Speed Racer all we want. It shouldn't have been made in the first place. So I don't know how you guys
David,
think going to be
David, get into your corner. Just no. Leave
look,
Speed Racer alone.
I don't dislike Speed Racer, all right? But I don't know how they got it made in the first place, but there's no freaking chance that is good. We'll never see Speed Racer again. That is it. Is that a Decepticon behind you, Andrew? What the hell just happened?
That was a helicopter that just went over me.
Sure. It was.
I'd like to think. We'll find out in a few minutes if they released a bomb. Kyle Newman, the director of Fanboys, brought up a few films which have been repeated over and over throughout. The Last Starfighter, Galaxy Quest, and Unbreakable.
Have you ever watched The Last Starfighter, Andrew?
I have not. But I've seen the other two in this list.
It is the worst.
Is that supposed to be a John Carpenter film with the dude? If it isn't, it should be. Oh wait, no, I'm thinking of Starman. Sorry, I'm thinking of something else.
Last Starfighter?
No. Wasn't it? It was somebody that always reminded me of Steve Guttenberg. Who was the
Last Starfighter then? Stars K.E. Cutter.
Yes, that is who it is. That is who it is. Him.
A video gaming boy, seemingly doomed to stay at his trailer, parked home all life, finds himself recruited as a gunner for an alien. I think I have seen this movie.
You probably have.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
I think I would have watched it late night on one sci-fi or something.
Or is it... No, is but it... that guy... What's his name? Who is the alien guy? You know, the guide? I remember, like, thinking that he was some big guy, you know?
Yeah. So, Last Surface. That's pretty clever. That's a joke.
As well as Unbreakable, which is, I think, probably my favorite Shyamalan movie at this point.
Yeah. I think we should stop making Shyamalan make anything at this point. Should call it a
and date. Galaxy Quest. I don't know we've ever talked about Galaxy Quest.
Why
what
would
do you
we?
Guys think of
Why
that movie?
Would we have spoken
Most
about Galaxy
Quest? Most
people
seem to like that movie. I've never actually watched it, so I cannot comment.
It's not good. It ain't good.
I remember liking it at the time, but
of course
I was,
you were 12.
How old was I at the time?
12,
I can't remember
13.
How
you
old
saw it
is that
on
movie?
The Disney Channel and I went, this is pretty good.
Probably. I haven't watched it since.
Yeah,
I mean, I
wonder why.
Watch it.
Yeah, you've not been drawn to watch Galaxy Quest again. I'm shocked at you.
But I think what entertains me the most is the fact that he entered this conversation. I got a lot of people chiming into the fact that they wanted a sequel to Fanboys itself, which is a movie that, while I'm not going to call it the greatest movie ever made, it was a relatively entertaining film, and I like it.
Fanboys 2, return to Comic-Con, why not?
Actually, you know what, Damien? I was about to shake my head, but then, you know... That title is beautiful. Yeah. I want that movie.
But I'm going to give the winner this week
to
Chris Salton, who on top of chiming in about Fanboys, decided that he, and I feel we need this as well, requires a He-Man /
Look here,
Masters of the Universe sequel with Dolph Lundgren.
Hey, guys. Hey guys, this podcast was fun.
No. I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. Right. I grew up on that movie.
Yeah, right.
He-Man. Oh my goodness. That was fantastic. Bruno Kirby, Dolph Lundgren, Cameron. Courtney Cox.
That's not what you want.
Oh my
Douglas.
Goodness.
Ted gave us a glimpse into what a Flash Gordon sequel could be. That is what you want.
That was spectacular.
That is what you want.
I should really buy that movie. I
you
love that
should.
Movie so
it's
much.
It's really good.
What I should also buy is Flash Gordon.
No.
Have
don't
you,
do
have
that.
You
eventually,
don't
you
do it,
Douglas.
Don't
do
it. On YouTube and watch some of it. And I went, I can't.
It's so sad.
I can't
it's
do this.
So amazing.
I can't do
you realize
this
James Bond is in that movie.
Yes,
you know,
I do
right?
realize James Bond is in that movie. I cannot.
Which James Bond is in that movie? Please. Please don't tell me it's Connery. Okay, no. All right. As long as it's not Connery.
You know who else is in that movie? Actually, Indiana's sidekick, as well as Gimli, the dwarf from Lord of the Rings.
Gimli.
It is Gimli. I was right. Okay. Yeah. He's in that too.
There's this weird part of my brain which remembers turning on that movie where you see all of the flying monkeys, and for a short period of time thinking it was the Wizard of Oz.
Well, flying monkeys. That is exclusive property of it. Should be.
It should be. Yeah.
And we should never make any more Wizard of Oz movies.
No, please don't. No, Mila Kunis, please, just never again. You know what Mila Kunis can do, and this will go along with this question. She can just do part two to Friends with Benefits, because or either that or
Ted.
Jesus Christ! I forgot she was in Ted. Actually, Ted would work, but also Jason Segel's movie, which I cannot remember for some reason.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Thank you. Like maybe remembering Sarah Marshall.
Or she and Olga Kurylenko can go off in the sunset.
Going to Sarah Marshall's funeral. Anyways, with the latest release of The Wolverine, a movie where we got a second chapter to a franchise that I don't think anyone ever wanted based on the first film.
No, people wanted a Wolverine franchise. What we don't want is any of these movies. Can we just get good directors? Right, we need to recast Wolverine.
Yes.
We need to get Chris Nolan on board somehow. And people need to focus. Guys, guess what people care about Wolverine? Him fighting shit. Guess what we don't care about? Anything else. Like, literally. I don't care where he came from. I don't care where he got his claws. I don't care who he likes. None of that is important. All I want is for 90 minutes, people attack him and he murders them. And escalation. Because Wolverine is one of the few characters that can't die. So you can literally do anything. You can have someone throw him in the sun and it would be reasonable for him to jump out of the sun and come back and kill them. I don't care how you get it done. Just have him fight shit and don't tell any stories. Who cares about Wolverine's story? He's angry. And he has claws. Please write me a good story with that. Oh, you can't? No shit, you can't. Oh, God.
So, Damien, you have touched on exactly what I was going to ask about. Because it's quite obvious that Wolverine is going to become pretty much the next James Bond in movies, where they're just going to keep making movies about Wolverine. Even when they don't call it the Wolverine movie, it's going to be X-Men number 27, and it's really just going to be about Wolverine and all the ancillary characters around him. Because that kind of is what the first three X-Men movies are. To me, they're all really just Wolverine movies.
Wait, no, Wolverine was in The Last Stand.
No, he was in The Last Stand. What are we talking about? Just hurt me.
So let me tell you. There's three X-Men movies. There's X-Men 1, there's X-2, and First Class.
That's it.
The Last Stand is trash.
Yes, but hold on, Damon. Give me 1 second before we get into that.
Which movie was he getting recruited in? Was it the second movie?
Mm-hmm.
That he was in there for like half a second?
No, the first one was...
That was in First Class, where they walk up to him, and they're like, we want to talk to you.
Yeah, we'd like to talk to you.
And then...
Okay.
McAvoy and Fassbender just went, all right.
Next time. Yeah, they're going to keep making Wolverine movies. And just like with James Bond, they eventually realize they can't keep calling on Hugh Jackman. As much as I do like Hugh Jackman being Wolverine, I'm curious to know if there's anyone out there you would recast to be Wolverine today for the next Wolverine film, even though he's going to be in the Days of Future Past, the new X-Men movie coming out. I think it's next year, which there is a teaser for at the end of Wolverine. But let's see what's happening. Who would you put as Wolverine? Douglas?
Who would I put as Wolverine? Could care
and
less.
Remember, this guy has to last another 5 movies, so you can't just pick.
I could not care less. I don't give a shit. As long as they don't make one. I just don't want them to make any more movies.
That's a terrible answer. What you should do is just troll the question. Just give terrible answer, like the
you know who would be a good
Khal Drogo.
You know who would be a good Wolverine? Mel Gibson. Yes.
John Cena. We got John Cena for Wolverine. He wouldn't have to bulk up. You just give him claws and terrible lines.
You know who'd be a perfect Wolverine? Aubrey Plaza. Yeah.
In all fairness, Channing Tatum is going to be the next Wolverine. So get ready, guys.
Jamie Foxx is going to be the next Wolverine, guys.
He's Electro. He can't be in both. Sony has him.
What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain. Just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. I'm happy again.
Can you spare some cutter, me brothers? Go on, do me in, you bastard cowards. We don't want to live anyway. Not in a stinking water like this.
Oh? And what's so stinking about it?
It's a stinking world because there's no law and order anymore. It's a stinking world because it lets the young get onto the old, like you done. Oh, it's no world for an old man any longer. What sort of a world is it at all? Men on the moon and men spinning around the earth, and there's not no attention paid to earthly law and order no more. Oh, dear the land, I fought for thee and
let's move on into our top five. Douglas, based on his pick of Happy People. Yeah. The story of Tiger.
Based on
I don't
his
know what the subtitle
Max.
Is. He wanted us to talk about our top five movies that were recommended to us.
Yes.
I don't know if Douglas tried to put any sort of caveats on what he was
Douglas
doing with this.
Douglas, who's recommending movie to us? You mean movies we've recommended to each other? Who?
Anybody.
People just
anybody
walk up to you and say, Douglas, watch this movie.
Yes.
Ooh, when was the last time that happened?
Never.
What are you talking about? Never. Actually, you know what? So, I have a story to tell you about crazy people just walking up to me. So this is 2 days ago, and I am driving home from work in my car. And you've seen it, and Andrew's seen it. But just for the benefit of the audience or our listeners, in my car, I have a dock on my dashboard that I can put my phone in, and it hooks up to the power, and it also has a Bluetooth connection, and I can listen to all of my wonderful music. So, right, it's great. It's very, very cool. I was driving up Knutsford Boulevard, and I don't know why, but I decided, you know, I'm going to look to my left. I had stopped. I was in traffic. I'm going to look to my left and see what's going on outside. And I see in a red car beside me, this guy just, like, clearly trying to get my attention. I don't know why, because I don't know who the hell this guy is. But he finally does get my attention, and he just waves at me. And I realize in his hand is another HTC One X. This is literally the second person in Jamaica I've ever seen with this phone. And clearly, I am also the second person he has seen with that phone. Shit. So it was, yeah, it was like, you know, the HTC Lovers Unite. Right. I don't know.
Start a fan club.
So yeah, that was interesting. I gave him a thumbs up, turned, and hoped for a green light.
And drove as fast as possible. What, you bought a thing I bought? Congratulations, son. No, never speak to me again.
And on that note, Andrew, I know I put no caveats in there, but I wanted you, each of you, to make your list your own. I know I have a fun little list of my own, but Andrew, you start. What is your number five?
So the only caveat that I put on this list is that I wanted to pick movies that I, previous to being told to go and watch it, had absolutely no interest in watching, or at least had no clue existed. And that's literally the only thing that I put on here. Because, I mean, if I were to say, I put Argo because someone told me it was good, like, I was going to watch that movie anyways, even though I was skeptical about it to begin with. Yeah.
Superman. But, I mean, Man of Steel is on mine because they put out a trailer and recommended. Zack Snyder recommended that I watch this.
So my number five film, and by the way, this list is not really in any order of goodness. It's just ordered. My number five film is a movie that Damien recommended to me. It's going to be the only movie that comes from within our own little podcasting pool.
Douglas, in your face. None of your recommendations count, son.
And it's a 1998 classic, The Big Hit.
Damn right it is.
Without Damien continuously going on about the Trace Buster Buster, I don't think I would have ever watched this movie.
And your life would have been worse for it.
Yes, it would have, because this movie is goddamn perfect. And we keep mentioning the Trace Buster Buster, but I want you guys to realize there is a joke that runs throughout this movie about one of the members of the team who is a video store enthusiast, and he just discovered pornography.
Yep.
Right? And he goes on and on about how, you know, don't need women anymore, I figured out about masturbation. And when it comes to the end of the movie and you're finally in that big fight scene in the video store and you see the picture of him by the porn door as best customer ever, you just can't stop but break out. You can't do anything but just break out in laughter. I adore this movie. We've talked about it to no end, so I'll leave it right there.
So, Damien.
Yes.
What's your number five?
Alright, so since Andrew has chosen me as his favorite podcast member, do the same for him. Guys, there's a movie called The Fraser Park that I speak about from time to time. And Andrew said to watch it. I wasn't going to because I saw that trailer and went, that seems cute. This dancers revolution fighting thing. But I think I'm going to pass. And that would have been a mistake I would have regretted for the rest of my life. The FP is perfect. I don't know how else to say it. You will watch, for the people listening, you need to at least watch it, right? Because you're going to follow one or two sides. Either you'll go, this is really dumb and Damien is a crazy person, which that doesn't affect you either way. But if you fall on my side and realize that the movie's magic, then you will love, you'll thank me, as I have thanked Andrew. It is the reason I still listen to Andrew to this day. Because he's wrong about most things. But he was right about the FP. And anyone that is right about the FP, you have to give them like a lot of rope to hang themselves. And so the FP,
Okay.
I like that movie. Pretty good.
Now, I must say that with both of you, Andrew and Damien, I am sorely disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
You could have taken this top five and done so much with it. And all you're doing is just talking
about nonsense.
Exactly. So what I have done, what I have applied is a very simple concept. Now, if you noticed, I didn't say the top five. I said the five most memorable recommendations. So I have grouped mine into three groups. And this is actually a movie that I think Andrew likes a little bit too much, called The Good, The Bad, and The Weird. Right? Those are my three groups for my movies. I am going to start off with The Bad. And not only did I do that, but I wanted to feature my co-hosts. So I wanted to give them, you know, the praise or the blame that they rightly deserve, depending on which side of the coin their films lie. So let's start with The Bad. And let's start with you, Damien.
All right.
We've actually spoken about this film today already.
You realize that I'm about to change my list, right? This is going to be, like, I still have four more things.
No,
and
that's
if you go down this road,
no.
There's going to be
you cannot be reactionary.
I am
all right, but I just thought, you know, that you could make something more out of it. But whatever.
No, I understand. So, and the list is being changed on the fly.
All right.
And you remember we asked you this, Douglas. Are we going to make it about us? And you said no.
No, I didn't say no. I said you could if you want. I said just generally, you can make of it what you will. And I made of it what I would. And I have. And one of the worst recommendations from my friend Damien White has been a documentary by the name of Restrepo. This movie is disgustingly bad. Yes, Damien, as you said before, people go to war. People go in the army and bad things happen to them.
Shit.
But guess what? If that happens and you make a movie about it, I want to be entertained. All right? So no.
Sorry.
No, this is a memorable moment.
Right. I like how my bad movie is just, you know, one of these bad movies that happens to be critically like at 8.5 on Netflix. All right, I'll accept that. You're a terrible person for not liking that movie.
By the way, speaking of Netflix, speaking of Steve, this movie that we watched today, Happy People, it's only rated about 2.5 stars on Netflix.
You're crazy. Steve's an idiot. That's why he hired Matt, because it has no sense.
Yes. All right. So, Andrew, so it looks like you're up.
Shots fired. All right, fine.
Yes, across the bow.
I'm not taking the Damien route. I will not falter in what I had written down.
You're a better man.
I will not change into this vindictive manner of attacking people. And I'm going to continue. And this is a movie which I can't really remember who first recommended it to me. But the moment I saw it, I remember that I adored it. And how could I remember if I had first seen it? It's so crazy. The movie is great. And I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. It's a 1988 film, Heathers, starring Winona Ryder. And you've seen it.
Yep.
It is a really fun movie. I mean, I don't, like, if I had to list, make a list of the top five movies that has Christian Slater in them, I think at first I'd struggle to find five, but this movie would definitely be one of the top two.
Wait. There is, it's not Airborne, but it's one like that. What is it called?
Gleaming the Cube.
Gleaming the Cube, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which cannot make any list.
That movie is so fun. But yeah, Heathers is great. I think from the moment that you see the shot of the girls just playing croquet outside and the way that they talk, the way that you kind of see how Winona Ryder has to edge herself into this little clique of women. And then we have the weird anti-social Christian Slater coming to push her to become a murderer. I kind of love this movie. It It needs to have a Blu-ray release, guys. Why isn't it on Blu-ray? I love this movie. What about you guys? Douglas, Damien?
Well, I've never seen this movie. I know about it. I know that people love it. But apparently Damien's the only one to have actually seen this
movie. I've seen it so many times. I know I don't like it. Yeah. But that's partially because I've seen it so many times.
Okay, so Damien, your turn. Time for you to tell me about this movie. I know exactly where you're going. Come on, go there.
I'm not going to do it, no, because you're expecting it, no. So I'm just going to ignore you for a second.
Because just like Beatro, you got to expect the unexpected. Because that shit's going to be expecting you.
How's a nigga supposed to shout this shit out without no ducks, J-Tro? All right. When I was a child, 40, 50 years ago, whenever it was, I got onto the internet and started watching Japanese cartoons.
Ooh.
And while there, I discovered Dragon Ball Z, and it was a dark time. And the Sci-Fi channel decided, we should show you guys what real Japanese anime was. And they did. I saw Ghost in the Shell, some other shit. And so I grew up, and I went, yeah, this is pretty good. Then I went to high school with a bunch of nerds, of course, because I went to Campion. And one day, someone that I barely like said to me, Damien, have you seen the Cowboy Bebop movie? And I said, no. And someone brought a DVD from their yard and said, you should watch this. I went home and it was magic. It was absolute. I mean, I hadn't seen the TV show then. Just saw the movie and went, this might be the best thing I've ever seen. This is remarkable. This puts all this nonsense that I've been watching, except for Ghost in the Shell. Like everything else was just garbage. And I went, okay, so it can be good. And then I went, yeah, it can be good. And I remember I watched that movie maybe 4 times in the day that I was, like, I went home at 2 and then I had to give back the DVD the next day. And I think I saw that movie 4 times in that day. I remember someone shouting at me, come and eat your dinner and come and go to sleep. But I wasn't having any of it. I was going to watch that movie again. I did. And to this day, it is a shining example of what can be done with that meat. Like, there's a lot of garbage that comes out of Japan and out of most places, but that is just tremendous. And you guys, you need to remember, understanding that it was literally like just Dragon Ball Z. That was it. And then someone handed me this DVD and I realized in one fell swoop, oh, I fucked this whole thing up. That's been a mistake.
Andrew, you thought you got away from this, didn't mm-hmm. you?
I was hoping that I'd be saved somehow.
No, you are not saved, sir. Now, while myself and Damien tend to be on the same track in terms of movies, and so it was a little bit difficult. Well, no, it wasn't difficult because that movie was extremely memorable. But if it wasn't for that one, it would have been a little bit difficult to create this list. With you, sir, it was not difficult. Not at all. And what was actually difficult was actually weeding out the most memorable, the worst of the worst, so to speak.
That's not nice.
I try. That's all I can say. I try.
And it came down to 2, but this one had to win because you like this movie so much. And this movie goes by the name of Broadcast News. Broadcast News is bad, Andrew.
Have you watched this movie yet, Damien?
No. I'm afraid. It looks bad. Andrew, it looks bad.
Andrew.
I've gone in. I'm already on the wrong side. And I don't think it's going to be a situation like the movie we just saw recently where, you know, because of Douglas's hatred, I went in and came back out going, the movie wasn't as bad as Douglas said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to come out into this movie. So I don't think I should watch it though, because if I watch it and it is bad, then I'm just going to come in here and be angry and attack you again. And
yeah, and the thing about this movie is that not only is it a bad movie, right, but for some god awful reason, Andro has this unexplained love for a man by the name of William Hurt. Now, William
That's
Hurt.
The part that makes you the most angry.
It's not that it makes me even more. It's just, it's like a double whammy. Like, not only did he pick a bad movie in order to tell me that it's a good movie, but he picked a movie with somebody that he knows I abhor. Because this guy, William Hurt, plays nobody but William Hurt. I mean, unless he plays Will Hurt every once in a while. This guy is just... No. Right. Words escape me, Andrew. This movie
Douglas,
is horrible.
Douglas, you do know it's against the movie bylaws to hate a movie that Albert Brooks is in, right?
I don't remember agreeing to any of these laws.
Sounds like a lie. Douglas, this is entrapment. Andrew Robinson.
This is me just saying that Albert Brooks is amazing.
Thank you, sir.
Is it my pick again?
Yep. Yes, it is.
It's my pick again. Mm-hmm. So my number three is a film which I probably should have seen. I probably had seen, but... And Douglas will say I have, but I'll pretend like he doesn't exist because he hates broadcast news and such like that. But up until around, I think it was this year that I saw it for the very first time, really, is L.A. Confidential. And I got recommended this film on numerous times, but the most recent was by Anna Long. And... the way that she just expressed how much she loved this movie, it kind of just cued in that I had to watch it. I mean, it helped that it was a movie that was picked by a guest on my other podcast, the Movies You Love podcast, and I had to watch it at that point. But I really do adore this movie. I mean, between Kevin Spacey, Russell Crowe, and...
Vin Diesel?
Yes, that was the sound of Vin Diesel.
Anyway, Danny DeVito is in this movie. That's probably who you're looking for.
No, I'm thinking of Guy Pearce. Oh, and right, Guy Pearce. Yeah. This movie is like the 40s, 50s detective action hero bravado movie I love. And it's just perfect in that way. You kind of... There was this one scene which kind of just stuck out to me, which was when Kevin Spacey... kind of goes to ambush this guy who is arresting, along with Danny DeVito and the press, and he's taking him out of his house, and you kind of see that they frame the picture that for the press right in front of like a movie theater premiere, a movie premiere in the background, so you can see all of Hollywood, and you kind of go, all of this is so intentional. It's not just director intentional where they want a pretty picture, but where the press is intentional so that they don't just get the criminal, they don't just get the cop, but they get this setting in the background that you kind of go like, only a movie based on Hollywood crime theories, not theories, but crimes, would there be something so fake created just to make for a sensational story. And I love it.
Alright. So my other co-host, from time to time, don't know why I'm saying this, gets things right. Now, in fairness, these two movies that I'm about to say, they aren't as out there as the FP. I was never ever going to watch the FP. Let's be very clear. It was never going to happen. There's not a world that exists where I saw the FP. These two movies that Douglas picked, though, I kind of wanted to see them, but I was probably going to put them off for a long time, and Douglas rectified that. The first is Rare Exports, because that movie is friggin' magic. And the second is I Saw the Devil. And while these two movies aren't in any way, shape, or form similar, I mean, they're in different languages, so maybe, but they deal with completely different subject matter. One was the Rare Exports was so just so out there that by the time you got to the end of the movie, you just it felt good liking this movie. You just went, yeah, all right, director, you took me on this journey, and now we've come to the end of this journey, and I don't know how you came up with this, but thank you. The movie ended and you go, yeah, this is good. I Saw the Devil, you had the complete opposite reaction. At the end of the movie, there's a guy walking down the road crying. And that is the exact emotion that you should have had, because of all the revenge movies I've seen, no one has taken this amount of revenge. I know how you quantify revenge. And yeah, nobody's that serious. And at the end of the movie, I went, this is it. This is when you say revenge movies, they should just put up this poster and then call it a day. Like, just watch this and you'll know, and you'll never want to see any more of them. And yeah, so I had to take the happy and the darkness as well. So that's why you got two.
Why, thank you, sir.
Like, we saw the trailers for both these movies.
Yeah.
You jumped up and down like a schoolgirl for Rare Exports. Douglas is like, I have to see this. This is amazing. We have to watch this. And I'm like, that doesn't look, yes, sure. And then I Saw the Devil, you saw the poster, and we saw the trailer, and I went, I should watch this. Because we've been watching one or two Korean revenge films at that point. I'm like, yeah, I should watch this. And Douglas like forced the issue. Douglas is like, no. We have to watch this. We have to watch this now. And yeah, Douglas was right. Good job, Douglas.
Okay, well, I think it's my time to return the favor.
Oh,
because
oh.
I have now reached the good part of my list.
About,
Now, I hope that I'm right in remembering this. but to tell you the truth, there are many good movies, many great memorable movies that you've
called me our address name and get the movie wrong.
That would be fantastic. But anyway, there are a lot of movies that Damon has steered me in the right direction for, as I am sure I have done for him. As
I
you know, he
cool
is
well
exactly. You know, he's my apprentice. I have not finished molding him yet. But every once in a while, the student does become the teacher, and so. Damien recommended a movie once, and I thank the Lord that he didn't tell me who was in this movie. He did not tell me that there was an Olsen twin in this, an Olsen girl in this movie.
Yeah, I kept that to myself.
Yes, because if he did, on principle, I would not have watched this film.
Douglas, in all fairness, if I had found that out initially, too, we probably would have never seen the movie.
This movie goes by the name of Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Yeah. And this movie is...
No, Douglas. What? Douglas, it's called...
It's called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. All right? Yeah, thank you. So, this movie is one of the best movies ever.
So good.
It's so great. It is, you know... And,
how is she an Olsen?
I don't know. It kind of breaks every mold. It gives you a movie with an Olsen girl that works. It's asynchronous. It just flits from one time to another, but so well. It almost, the way that this movie moves from one scene to the other reminds you of, and I know you probably haven't felt this, but you know, it reminds you of, it feels like when you've woken up the day or the morning after, you know, a drinking binge, and throughout that day you know, you're probably cleaning and you smell a certain alcohol, and all of a sudden there is a flashback to what happened the night before. That is how this movie feels. It's just beautiful.
I remember a prostitute and dead and shoes. What the fuck? What happened?
Where did that chicken come from? You know, yeah. But this movie, it's just right, Damien.
Yeah. I remember watching it and I went, holy shit, this movie's good. And then looking at the credits like, no, no, that's no, she's not on. And then going on IMDb and going on Google and like, this is impossible. She must be adopted or something.
Yep.
And then I kept that information to myself.
Yep. So thank you, Damien. Thank you for that. Andrew, I think it's your turn.
So my number two is a film that I don't think we've ever discussed on this podcast. It's a film from last year. I think probably maybe even a year before, if we go to probably some other regions as to when it was actually released. It's the film by the title of Café de Flore. Have any of you guys heard or seen this movie?
I think you recommended it to me, but I haven't watched it. So, no, I haven't really heard of it.
So, this is a movie which kind of flashes between present day and the 1960s Paris. Present day Montreal and the 1960s Paris. And it's about these two sets of characters. In the present day, we have a DJ and his general girlfriend and his life throughout with his daughter and all. And the 1960s with these two children who suffer from what I believe, I can't remember if it specifically says it's this, is Down syndrome. And it kind of just goes between these two sets of characters as we see all the relationships go through their ups and downs. And it has this emotional connection that not many movies really get to pay off on. Because kind of like what Damien was talking about when he mentioned I Saw the Devil. And at the end of the movie, you crying with that main character as he is at the end. In this movie, it does that to you. You become so connected to these characters that when happiness or when tragedy befalls them, you are there with them. You're smiling, you're laughing, you're crying. And I think I can maybe list five films, if at all, movies that reached me to that level where it got me to cry. But Café de Flore is one of them. I mean, I can tell you, Douglas, that it helps that this movie has one of the best soundtracks of last year. It might be because one of the main characters is a DJ and there is some great music in there played by him. But otherwise, it's just a fantastic movie, and I hope that more people go and find out how to watch this movie, because I don't think there's actually a Blu-ray release for our region. I know there's a European release, and I don't know how available it is right now. So I hope you guys can find it and watch it.
Hopefully.
Alright. Now it is time. It is now time for me to stab Douglas in the back. Now we've seen a lot of shit on this podcast. I've prided myself in watching terrible movies. In fact, a lot of my favorite movies aren't technically good movies. However, Douglas Robinson has picked the worst movie. Possibly, like, I've never hated a movie more than this movie.
Explosion screen cap?
Yeah. To this day, it is the only time I have stopped a movie to take a screenshot of that movie. Just to ask, what in God's name is happening? The Butcher Boy is the worst thing to be committed to cinema in it. It is a true crime against cinema. I don't understand to this day what in God's name went through Douglas's mind when he thought that this was a good idea. I don't understand why, after watching it before, Douglas didn't just come out and say, guys, don't watch this. I am rejecting. Don't do this. We don't have to do this. Let's just not record a podcast. Let's pretend this didn't happen. I seriously, after watching this movie, debated whether I was going to talk to Douglas again. The movie, it is kind of unbelievable just how terrible, like, I can't even explain, put into words properly, just how bad this movie is. It is the worst. Sometimes when I think about the movie, I wonder, you know, if I am, like, misremembering, like my brain is just adding things to the movie that didn't happen, right? Like, I'm just assigning terrible things to the movie. And then I sit there and I'm like, no. And then I remember that screenshot that I sent to Douglas and go, no, that movie was the worst thing that has ever happened to this podcast. Thank God Douglas picked good movies like to redeem himself. Like, what the FP has done to bring up Andrew is what the Butcher Boy almost did to you in the upper. I almost just went, alright, Douglas, just can't. I'll never listen to him again, because clearly something is wrong.
Damien,
didn't we put Douglas on hiatus for a while after,
like,
that?
We just went, you can't pick movies anymore.
Listen, when you're dealing with real genius, uh-huh. You know, it's not always, you know, you go outside of the mm-hmm. box, and sometimes it just doesn't go well for you. That's how it works.
Douglas, holy Christ. Oh, God.
Okay. So, Andrew, it's your turn.
Andrew picks good movies.
Believe it or not.
That's never
happened. Andrew has actually picked good movies before.
He picked the FP once, and that was it.
Oh, and I actually love the story behind this movie as well, because it's more than just a recommendation. So, there was a time when...
Look, bitch.
No, there was a time when myself and Andrew, we lived together in the same house.
Assumed it was inside. You didn't live together in a shoe or a box?
No.
Certainly it was a house.
I lived once with an old woman in a shoe.
Right. But you're positive it was a house.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, and Andrew kept talking about this movie, right? And so, generally, when we were in the same house, what would happen is it didn't make sense to buy, you know, two of the same movie.
Yeah, that would be dumb.
That, exactly. If I own something, Andrew would just steal it and watch it, and vice versa. But there's something about actually owning what you want, right? And so if the other person got what you wanted, you hated him for a set amount of time.
Yeah, for stealing something that,
exactly,
you want.
I don't think Andrew's quite gotten over this one yet. He kept talking about this movie, talking and talking and talking. And I'd never seen it, and I was like, come on, whatever.
Can't be that good.
I went into this shop that is now closed, but
thank God,
goes by the name of Mobile Music. For all of you Jamaicans who are out there listening, you might remember that little place.
Although you shouldn't, because it's terrible.
And I just walked in there. I was probably looking for some music, and it just hit me. I looked up, and all of a sudden, there was this movie that Andrew's been dying about. And with no prior knowledge of this thing, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to put down that cash and buy it for no reason other than the fact that Andrew wanted it. Because
I've bought things for worse.
One of my many downfalls is that I'm a spiteful man.
What?
I'm a spiteful person.
You're many things.
I'm a mean and spiteful person.
Not really.
And by the way, if anyone is curious, the reason why he was spiteful in this manner was I bought Jaws, I think, a few weeks
that
prior.
Bastard.
Let's have such a healthy relationship.
Yes, we do. It's called one-upmanship.
I've never heard of
it. So, the name of this movie is In Bruges. And In Bruges, is fantastic.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
Oh. Funnily enough, though, the first time I watched it, almost like karma was being spiteful to me. The first time I saw it, I was like, okay, so this movie's all right, but I don't know what the big deal is. Exactly. But slowly but surely, it kind of had that the same effect that the dude, the Big Lebowski, had on me. The more you watch it, is the more connected you get, and the more you see, and the more you find to love. And that's what happened to me with this movie. And this movie is just amazing. You know, you get to hear about fucking elephants and winding stairs and alcoves, and it's
and midgets.
Alcoves.
This is just a wonderful, a marvelous movie. And just to sidetrack, while this isn't really a recommendation, but it reminds me, because of course it's the same director, of how much I love Seven Psychopaths. And again, I watched that movie a second time recently, and it is so much better than the first time, and it's so good. And I'm sure that as I watch more of it, I will enjoy it even more.
So, from the start of that movie, from the movie starts, you're just going, this movie's perfect.
I still love Tom Waits' portions more than anything else, and I'm not sure how much of that is my bias or just the greatness of...
And that post, that is the only time a post-credit scene has been worthy. The only time. Every other post-credit scene is garbage. This is the one.
I still say my favorite part of that movie is when Sam Rockwell reads his version of the shootout. And you get all of that imagination going on. I'm sorry, I love it.
My favorite part is when he is explaining an eye for an eye in the car.
Because one person's going to win.
Like, yeah, I understand now. I know what this movie is. And I know what it is not. Thank you. Is Andrew's turn? Oh, sorry. Andrew.
So my number one movie, and I'm gonna throw in a little extra here on top of this, because I kind of feel like I have to give some service to my co-hosts. But before I get there, my original number one movie is the Charlie Chaplin film City Lights, which had been on my list of shame for a very long time, and it was recommended to me by pretty much everyone. And it was kind of funny, because I know there was a time in my life where I was anti black and white movies. That's there was racist. A time in my life where I was anti silent movies. There was just this part of my brain which said that can't be entertaining. It's so far removed from what I understand movies to be now that it just couldn't work for me. But when you watch something like City Lights, it blows all of those preconceptions completely out of the water. I mean, comedy is something which dates itself very quickly. And especially when things become normal within comedies, like 20 years from now, we're going to look back and we're going to think that the Zach Galifianakis character is so stupid, because there are going to be 20 others like him. There probably are at least 5 now that we can list. But Charlie Chaplin is something that's been done, redone, mocked over, and still today, when you watch City Lights, it is one of the most hilarious movies ever. I adore it. But as I said, I want to throw in a little bit extra, and I was thinking back as we were having this conversation as to what I think might be my favorite movie that we've discussed on this podcast that came from one of you two. And sadly enough, and I'm saying sadly, it comes from Douglas. And it is the film, I think this is even a lost episode, so people won't even be able to hear us talk about it. It's the film Cinema Paradiso. Because I don't think there's been a movie about movies and about movie theaters and love of of being able to watch movies as touching as this film, where when we get to that final scene where he's getting to watch all of those cut clips, we're just as engaged as he is, mainly because we understand that love for movies. I mean, we're willing to sit down here every week for 2 to 3 hours and just talk movies. I mean, it's a great movie, and I really adore it, and I thank you, Douglas, for thinking that poster looked cool, because I don't know what else you use as a barometer for why we should watch a movie.
Zimbo Paradiso is like a classic, like people.
Yeah, people love that movie. Yeah.
Like, yeah, but I honestly no, I didn't never realize heard it time, of it yeah. before.
Yeah. I heard about the movie from like every movie podcast. Because if you talk about movies, at some point you're going to bring up that movie. Yeah, but movies, it's really good, guys. That's one they get right. Alright. Growing up, I had a grandfather, and he watched shitty westerns. Mm-hmm. Like The Lone Ranger, and all sorts of other shit. He was also a Chuck Norris fan.
So was The Lone Ranger actually good at one point?
It was never good. It is worse, no. But it was never good. He also watched Walker, Texas Ranger. He watched terrible things. Bad things that people shouldn't watch. A lot of the Western Channel and a lot of USA at times that people shouldn't watch them. However, I also had an uncle who he thought it was his job to rectify these terrible things, because for a long time I didn't like westerns and, you know, certain action movies, because the only ones that were on the TV were the bad ones. A lot of you people listening won't know what this is. He brought home a VHS tape. What? And on the front it said Rambo. Now, I was told by the rest of the family, you're too young to watch Rambo, and they're right. However, my uncle did not care. And so one day he sat me down and we watched Rambo together. Now, the first Rambo is good. And I went, okay, this is...
You mean the best, right?
This is the best. And then, not long after, he brought home a second VHS tape, which would be the greatest movie I had ever seen in history. He brought home another tape what said Rambo on it. But this one said two. And that is where, at that young age, is when I realized immediately that, oh, that was the first time I realized, oh, movies can be terrific. Because before, I watch movies like everybody else. You just watch whatever is on the screen. You watch Animaniacs and Power Rangers and all sorts of shit. And I remember that was the turning point. It was after watching that movie I went, I am now going to watch specific movies. I'm not going to just watch what is on TV. I'm going to find good movies and watch good movies. No, I was a child, so I got some things wrong. I watched Godzilla way more than I should have. But I remember after watching that movie, it was the first time I started looking at other things and going, that is bad. The first thing I pointed out to everyone that was bad was Power Rangers. I called it early. I was in the fourth grade, was what, 10 maybe, and I said to everybody in my class, Power Rangers is garbage, which they didn't take kindly to. no one wanted to hear that. And so while the rest of that year, people treated me less than politely at school, it didn't matter because I was right. And Rambo was the first movie that taught me that movies can be terrific. And yeah, Rambo First Blood Part 2 is the best. It is the best of all movies. This is the greatest thing that has ever. Rambo won a war that America lost. This is terrific.
So I'm just asking this because it popped into my mind, and I don't think we've ever specifically talked about it. I'm guessing you have seen Son of Rambo.
Yes. And I love it. Oh, God. I think we talked about it on the podcast. Yeah, Son of... Are you sure?
Well, at least not with me in it. I know I've seen the trailer. That's as far as I've gone. Oh, Douglas. It looks awesome, Douglas, but I haven't watched it yet.
It is just... is essentially a young Damien that saw Rambo and decided he's going to be Rambo.
He
he's
had
going
a
to make
movie
a
camera.
Rambo movie. And it's pretty, it's fun, it's terrific, it's small children. It's light and funny, and it has the reverence for Rambo that it deserves. A lot of people talk bad about Rambo.
Are you saying then that I need to watch Rambo first? Because I have, I don't think I've ever watched any of the Rambo movies.
Douglas Robinson, you've sat here across me all these years. You've never said that.
Well, I have watched Tango and Cash. Does
Douglas
that count?
Robinson.
Tango and Cash is great.
I love that movie.
I love that movie.
I have watched Mama... What was it? Mama Don't Shoot or
Douglas.
Mama Will Shoot?
Douglas. Douglas Robinson, of all the dumb shit you've not watched in these years. Have you seen Predator?
Of course.
And you've not seen Rambo?
No, I haven't.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Douglas, stop doing whatever.
Predator is awesome. I might even own Predator. I need to check that
whatever
out.
Whatever you're
so,
doing.
So,
no,
Douglas,
you're
what you need to
up.
Do... is you need to watch Rambo First Blood.
Have to watch Rambo.
And stop there.
No.
Oh, so this is like a Rocky argument because
No.
I have watched all the Rocky movies. And while most of them are entertaining, there is only one good Rocky movie.
Good
and
Rocky
that is
movie.
The first one.
Yes, thank you. There's a good Rocky movie and then 19 more Rocky movies. Douglas, Rambo First Blood is pretty good. All right, by normal, by every standard, it is a okay movie. Rambo First Blood Part 2, it is what all Rambo movies should have been. It is the Dark Knight to Rambo's Batman.
All right, as long as you don't watch Rambo Part 3, okay.
Look, after you watch Part 2, just ignore everything else that happens in the Rambo. Like, Rambo is, the Rambo franchise is garbage. Right? Part 2 is so dumb and so right.
Wasn't there one that came out like 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, just called Rambo. It is so, Douglas, the movie is, it is preposterous, the things that are in this movie. He's about 140 pounds. He doesn't look the part. He can't act to save his life. And you just watch the movie and they don't understand why this movie is great. The people who made the movie don't realize what they've made. And that just makes it better. There's no wink and nod. Like, you'll watch the movie and go, I cannot believe this is happening. But they don't know. They think they're making this great war epic. And they did. But they don't know it. No one understands what is happening. I understand. It is magic. Oh, God. This is so good. It is so good.
And with that, we move on to the weird portion of this top 5. Almost said top 10.
Might as well.
Now, I believe that I have probably inflicted this. I know I've definitely inflicted this upon Andrew. I think I may have asked us to talk about it. So I think I've inflicted it upon Damien. But that just goes to show how much I truly love this movie. And how much I truly love the person who recommended it for recommending it to me. One of my college roommates. This is how long ago this was. Actually, I shouldn't even say that. I'm not out of college that long. I'm not that old. But
your life is over.
No! So my roommate at the time put in this DVD once. I can't remember if it was just me and him or if it was a larger group of us. And we watched this movie and I kind of understand how he must have felt at the time, because this is not the kind of movie where you're like, maybe they like it, maybe they won't. Mm-hmm. This is like one of those movies where your insides are churning, because you know if this doesn't go well, you are about to either lose a friend or lose a hand, right, or like commit, a body part.
Right, commit right. some kind of yeah. crime. It will be a felony.
Right.
What happens?
Exactly. Fortunately, he did not lose either.
Did not have to murder.
This movie was and remains great, and which is why to this day, when I hear that this guy makes a new movie, I'm watching it immediately. He did Rabbit Hole, which was awesome.
R.I.P.D.
Yep. But even more awesome than that, he did Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And Hedwig and the Angry Inch, yes, it appears I have inflicted it upon Damien, and he is giving it a thumbs down, unfortunately. But we know why that is. That yes. is because this is a musical.
Yep.
I hope that this would be a little bit different, because it is not the run-of-the-mill musical. This is a little bit weirdo.
None of them are the run-of-the-mill musical. They're all terrible.
Yeah. This movie is just so good. The songs are great. Everything about this movie is great. And I implore you, if you listen to this podcast, it already means you're a weirdo. You like weird things, because there's no other reason for you to listen to us. So if you haven't watched it already, try it. If you have watched it already and don't like it, try it again, because you're an idiot. And if you have watched it and do love it, then you need to watch it again, because it's that awesome.
That is how I know Dancer in the Dark is one of the best movies of all time. Because they're singing in that. There's like singing and dancing, and at no point did I go. In fact, there's one of my favorite songs probably of all time in that movie, and I sat through all of that, and not once in my brain go, Damien, they're singing in this, you need to stop. But Hedwig, I'm sorry, Douglas.
John Cameron Mitchell at his greatest.
I like Hedwig a lot. That movie's kind of good. Kind of great.
Yes.
What? You like musicals, Andrew? I can't believe it. The hell yep. you say.
Oh, by the way, Andrew, you might find this interesting. I know Damien hates this show, so he won't. Apparently, he's been in Girls a few times.
Of course he has. He likes being in terrible things. He was in Short Bus, which was also terrible.
Well, he directed Short Bus. I remember I watched the first scene and stopped. Had a mini heart attack, and haven't quite mustered the confidence to watch it again, but I will.
All of it.
I really want to watch
good.
It, because it must be good, because
sure.
John Cameron Mitchell directed
it. Of course
it.
He is. Of course. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Speaking of things that is terrible and you like, I finally saw you. I told you this earlier. Andrew doesn't know. I saw all of Arrested Development. Hey guys, it's bad.
Did you actually see up to season 4, all of season 4?
I saw
four?
All of it. I used the my Netflix subscription poorly and watched all 4 seasons of this terrible, terrible show. Hey guys, A, it's not that funny, and B, it's not funny. Right? I keep asking Douglas what his laughs per minute was, and he can't give me an answer.
Well, it's been about 50 years since I've watched the original series.
Andrew, what was your laughs per minute? What's that? 2? Come on, guys. And no one can point out a good... Like, I keep asking people, even on the internet, which I shouldn't do, just point out the episode. The episode that converted you to the show. And no, it's just like it's the whole of it together. And you know, it's like a ball of things that it's just bad. And you guys got so many good people to like as guest stars on there, and just terrible, terrible things.
You know, you need to watch, by the way.
And Michael Cera is terrible.
I know the biggest trick of all on Damien.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we hate that show.
Yeah, you damn right you do.
No, that show's awesome, Damien. Oh my goodness. But you know a show you should watch? Mm-hmm. And it stars one of these guys, Portia de Rossi. And I've said this already. I don't know if you've actually watched it. Is Better Off Ted. That show is awesome.
I have so much to watch, though. I need to start watching Suits.
Yeah, Suits is fun.
I am almost done with season 2 of Suits. This show is amazing.
It is, isn't it? I love it.
There's Jane Eyre mini TV series that from BBC from 2006 mm-hmm. with Alice.
Mm-hmm. And so yes, I'm watching that. I saw that.
Yeah.
So, first of all, no, let's not talk about that yet. But what I want to say is that the alternative to today's movie mm-hmm. would have been an Alice movie in recognition or in honor of mm-hmm. her appearance.
Yep.
I Luca love that. Is,
we watched the episode twice. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning when we finally went to sleep. And my sister was like, that didn't just happen. And we watched it again. And, like,
and the movie, by the way, maybe I'll still use it or maybe I'll just watch it and tell you how great it is. I haven't seen it yet, but it has to be wonderful because it's like this merger, this meeting of two great forces of nature. You have on one side Alice from Luther, who is like a crazy mm-hmm. great person. And on the other side, you have Sherlock Holmes, i.e. Benedict Cumberbatch.
What are you talking about?
Both in the same movie.
Douglas, what is the name of this movie? Tell
something
me now.
Something like Queen's Island.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to go home and get it. I don't care what it costs.
Yeah.
I have to watch this.
Yeah. Sherlock and Alice. I think mentioning Cumberbatch is generally a good way to end right there. So I think we should just cut it off there. So I want to thank you so much for listening. This has been a really long podcast. As usual, you can hear the podcast over at the website, over at Gman Reviews, through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever application you're using. Most aggregators will pick it up. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Gman Reviews. Douglas is
DJR lost his name. Usually
Damien.
You say that.
And Damien is done. I had a good run, guys. I made about 19 tweets. But that's it.
Don't you do it.
He's the British television of Twitter.
Yeah, it's freaking terrible. There's just ads. There's just ads. And
so thanks so much for listening. And good night.
You're like a plaintive melody that never lets me free, but I'm content. The angels must have sent you.